and give it a run. Well, it is 10:15 on a Thursday morning. Now, do you crave entertainment as I do, as we all do? Maybe that's why you're listening to the radio right now. Maybe you can't make decisions for yourself and you need the guidance of a seasoned entertainment veteran. Do you want only the best of film, television and music when looking to consume wonderful entertainment? Well, look no further than right now, because Wayne's 4x2 is... It's time for Wayne's 4x2 with Mr. Wayne Massingham. Yes, four reviews, 2 minutes each. Wayne, good morning. How are you today?
Yeah, hi, Steph. I'm good. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm fantastic. We've been playing some fantastic tracks, and I might have a sneaking suspicion you've got a Big Thief review for us somewhere down the line, but that's our feature album this week. Have you caught any of it yet?
Yeah. Yes, I have. It's incredible.
Yeah, amazing.
I think everyone's raving about it, and rightly so. So, I've been playing that pretty much on repeat all week.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And we've got a few more tracks from that feature album to come out later. But let's get on to the 4x2. Wayne, what have you got for us this morning?
Well, I don't think there's any other reason but to start with that Big Thief album. In all honesty, this band is just on another level right now, and I don't think it would do any good to sort of delay a review.
Yeah.
It's great that it's the feature album of the week, because, you know, it's early February, but there's a pretty good chance this is going to be number one album on a lot of lists at the end of this year. Because if something comes out that's better than this, it's going to be quite exceptional. So the new album, it's got the quite unwieldy title of Dragon New Warm Mountain, I Believe in You. It's the band's fifth album, their first since 2019, when they released two fantastic albums. This was recorded quite interestingly over a 5-month period in four different locations. They moved around a bit. It was a deliberate thing to sort of create different sounds in different places. They recorded in New York, California, Arizona and Colorado. They actually recorded 45 songs for this album, wow. Which I know a lot of bands probably do record more than they put on the album, but you know, so it is a double album. There's 20 songs, but actually, as I said, they recorded another 25. So it's not like they threw in some scraps here just to fill it out. And there is no filler on this album. If your listeners have been hearing stuff off it, I'm hoping they love it. This band is just phenomenal. Their first four albums are all great, and this feels like their best yet. So that's quite a statement. I guess they do operate in that indie folk rock area. Adrian Lenker, who basically writes all the music and is the lead singer, is just quite a phenomenal songwriting talent. And this album, I haven't tired of it, and I won't. And it just feels very varied, even though they're operating in, as I said, in that sort of folk rock sort of area. There's still a lot of variety on this album. There's even one track, Wake Me Up to Drive, which is slightly electronic. There's stuff on there with very bluegrassy, and it's just very varied, and it's so warm. The melodies are great. I know probably not doing it justice, because this is just a phenomenal album.
You've just got to listen to it. I was doing a big sort of spring clean, even though it's not spring yet, but I'm doing a big spring clean of the house yesterday, and, you know, have a nice pair of speakers and just had this new album blasting. I think it was the first time that I was listening to it, and God, it's just great to have on. It's amazing.
It is brilliant, and I can recommend, I mean, there's so many great songs on there, but the one I keep playing a lot is Simulation Swarm. Mm-hmm. The guitar riff on that track by Buck Meek is just phenomenal. Mm. And I was listening to a podcast, there's an indie rock podcast from the US, and they were talking about it, and the guy that runs it said it was, you know, he'd be surprised if he has a better album this year. Mm. Is he said, even though Adrian Lenker is the dominant force, she writes basically all the songs and sings on them, he felt like even more so than previous albums, a real band collaboration. And I really want to see them live. They're supposed to come out for Vivid 2 years ago in the early stages of the pandemic, and obviously they couldn't. And I had one time they came out before and I was overseas. So I'm really desperate to see them live because apparently they're even better live than on record just because they communicate so beautifully as a band. And, yeah, this album's great. So
yeah, awesome. Well, we've got more songs from the album to play a little bit later on in the show. We've got Flower of Blood coming up just after 11 o'clock. So there's plenty more of that to come. But let's get on with the 4x2. Wayne, what is next?
Well, this is second up, and I don't want to go through this disservice because this, I want to talk about a film that opened in Australia last week, Drive My Car. And again, this is another film or a piece of art that is getting massive acclaim, and again, rightly so. This is a Japanese film from the director Ryosuke Hamaguchi. And it's been, as I said, highly acclaimed. It's actually got 4 Academy Awards. Interesting, not only international feature film, but actually best film and more so best director, which is a very hard to get into that break of 5 directors. And for this Japanese director to get in that is a huge statement. So this is a really, really beautiful film. It's very long. It's 3 hours long, but I never felt bored or restless throughout. It's very dialogue-based, and it just kept me engrossed just because the way it's written and the way it's acted. Basically, it's about a theatre director and actor in Tokyo who has a tragedy early on in the film. His wife dies, and then it's sort of set up that it fast forward a couple of years later, and he's working in Hiroshima as a directing a project of Uncle Vanya. And basically, that's the rest of the film. It's sort of him coping with his grief previously. It's the meditation on the play, the characters in the play, who are the actors in it, their stories. And the Drive My Car is basically from the theatre company wants him to be driven around rather than actually him getting in the car himself. So a young lady does his driving around, and they form a bond as well. And then you learn her story. It's just so beautifully done. The acting is phenomenal. Hidetoshi Nishijima, who plays the main character, is just really great. So I just love this film. And as I said, it's 3 hours long, but don't be put off by that. It's just a beautiful meditation on life and grief and coping with grief. And it's truly wonderful.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating. I'm definitely keen to check this one out as well. And I think that, I think it's a good little... Perhaps it's a good reflection of, you know, what the Academy Awards and where film's at the moment, that we're seeing these types of films be nominated for Best Director and stuff like that. And, you know, it's not all moving towards these blockbusters and these extremely well-known, you know, big sort of Nolans of the world and stuff. So
definitely, yeah. And Parasite sort of led the way. And Parasite was obviously a wonderful film, and I'm glad it won. But it was, I guess, a sharper, a bit of a, you know, a thriller in some ways, a bit of everything. This is a different sort of film, but it's still great that incredible foreign language films are getting into the Academy Awards space. And I've been reading or hearing a lot of stuff about how they should advance because, should they throw in a Spider-Man just to boost ratings? But then does it not really? I think they're better off just finding the best films and reaching out outside the American world.
Yeah.
And if people watch it, they watch it. If they don't, they don't. And reward these sort of films. So like had Nomadland winning recently and Moonlight, obviously American films, but films that are really strong, independent films that don't rely on action and stars. Big story. So I think, to me, it's just find the best and reward them.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting. And I think that people are sort of coming to that sensibility a little bit now. But I remember in the past watching some films, foreign films, and I'm like, this is the best film I've seen this year. This isn't the best foreign film I've seen this year.
No,
this is the best film I've seen this year. And I think I remember the first time when Life is Beautiful was first sort of nominated and things. That was kind of the first time I ever saw a foreign film in the mix with all the Hollywood films and things like that. And maybe it started something for a short time, but you didn't see anything for a while after that.
No.
Yeah. So it's good that we're in this place now where films are judged on their merit more than, whether they're foreign or not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously English films have been featured for years. So it's like, well, it's another country. So just because it's in a different language, does that matter? So, you know, if an English films can win, you know, every now and again, why can't a Japanese film or Korean or whatever country or French film, you know, whatever you want to take, So I think it's good, but you know, these films aren't getting huge audiences, but on the other hand, Parasite did become a huge success. Yeah. So It can build. Yeah,
it's a good thing to see as well. I think that I don't know. It might just be young people or whatever it might be, but people do. I mean, it's a weird old cliche, but people do get put off by subtitles and things like that. And I think with the success of Parasite and Squid Games, people are on board. You know, it's not a big deal to have to read subtitles.
I think so. Although I have heard people that watch some of those Netflix series watch it dubbed, and I don't do that. But I think it's hopefully moving that way, where it's, you know, different audience and people aren't put off. I mean, there still will be people that don't want to see a subtitle film, and certainly not a 3-hour film.
Yeah.
But I think there's enough people out there that want to. And I went on Saturday expecting like two people in the theater, and there was probably 20 or 30 early on a Saturday morning, which, you know, not too bad.
No,
you know?
That's good. Cool. Yeah, it's good to see. All right, Wayne, that sounds like a great one. Drive My Car. I'll be checking that out. What's next on the 4x2 this morning?
Okay, well, I recommend a TV show. As I said, just working, keeping up and updating from my 2021 screenings. This is Dr. Death. This is a Peacock production that you can catch her on Stan, 8 episodes in total. And this is based actually on a podcast that they've came out years ago. And it concerns a fellow called Christopher Dunch, who was a surgeon in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And he literally was the Dr. Death. He had many, many cases of malpractice. He made healthy patients, but mainly spinal surgeries for neck and back pain. And instead of helping them, he made a lot of them quadriplegics, also killed two of them. And he's just managed to escape the system. But two doctors in that area who were like onto him sort of pursued him with the help of an assistant DA and went after him. So this is just a really great true life crime story, I guess. It's very gripping, very entertaining. And Joshua Jackson is really wonderful as Dunch, the Dr. Death. And you also got Alec Baldwin and Christian Slater in this as well. So this is one of those, you know, it's a true story. It's very sad, but it's also very entertaining. So that's Dr. Death on Stan.
Okay. Yeah, no, that sounds like a good one. Bringing back a few actors from some of my favourite 90s films and TV, Joshua Jackson and Christian Slater.
Yeah, and they're really good in this too, yeah.
Yeah, I love it when some of these actors have a bit of a resurgence and they sort of come back to prominence and, you know, you've got these nostalgic memories of them, but then they play some sort of a different role outside that purview and brings a new life to them.
Absolutely, and especially Josh Jackson, who was like obviously famous from Dawson's Creek, but he's actually been in a lot of really good stuff over the years. And I think hopefully he's outlived his, teenage stardom and developed a reputation now as a serious actor. And he's really great in this because the guy he's playing is not a good person. He's really a sociopath. He's incredibly arrogant, overconfident, a really bad mix of everything. I won't spoil like how it ends, he's really wonderful as this pretty awful person.
Okay, great. Dr. Death, it sounds good. And that's available on Stan.
That's on Stan, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, let's finish it up for this week. Wayne, what's last for your 4x2?
Well, I'm going to talk about another album. Came out last week, and I am loving this just as much as The Big Thief. And that's the new album from The Great Spoon, a band I've loved for years and years. This is their 10th album. Spoon, to me, I could make a claim for being one of the most consistently great rock bands the last two decades. They never put a foot wrong. Britt Daniel leads them, and he's just got that element of a great front man. He's got a great voice. Their songs are all very, even though they work in that rock idiom, I always find them a bit deconstructed. They're not a traditional rock band, even though they work in that area. And I always think the great thing about Spoon is they're very clear. You can actually, like, there's no wall of sound. It's very distinct. You can hear the great piano lines, the great guitar. Mm. They have a really great knack for melodies, really great hooks, really great arrangements. And I think even though this is actually their best album for a while, even though all their albums are good, probably their last couple were like very good without being amazing. And I think this goes back into the, you know, close to some of their classic albums like Gimme Fiction or Girls Can Tell. So really great for a band that's been around for a long time to keep producing it. This is also recorded in a few states in Texas and California, and the band wanted it to be more of a live sound, I guess, rather than pieced together. So, yeah, great to have the great Spoon back.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to listening through. I think I've heard one or two tracks. To finish off with this week and yep. going forward, Wayne, we're going to play a track from one of your suggested albums. Fantastic. So we've got this song Wild lined up from this Spoon album. Tell us a bit about the track.
Okay, well, really great you're playing this. This is probably my favourite song on the album. It was the second song single release. The first one was The Hardest Cut, but Wild come out. And I guess what I could say about this is if you want to hear a quintessential Spoon guitar line, listen to this song. About a minute in, it just rumbles through. It's really catchy. It's only about 3.5 minutes long, but it's just got that great guitar that Spoon are known for. Interesting, the other thing about this, I was looking at the songwriting credits on the album, because Brick Daniel's basically the chief songwriter, but this was actually co-written with Jack Antonoff, a pop star associated with Fun, also associated with co-writing with Taylor Swift and all sorts of people. And apparently during the pandemic, him and Daniel sort of got together for a little bit, sort of put something together and then had a demo. And then as this album was sort of coming to fruition, Brett Daniel got it back up again and sort of finished it off. So it's a bit interesting that someone else coming in. Mm. But it still feels like a Spoon song. So basically I say just listen to that guitar. And if you haven't listened to Spoon before, which I guess there's always a chance you might have, this is quintessential Spoon guitar, and I just really love this song.
All right, fantastic. Well, let's hear it. Wayne, it's great. Thank you so much for your 4x2 once again today.
No worries, Steph. I'll speak to you next week.
Thank you. All right.